Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to you joining in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on a book called Truth. It's the Bible. Truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the Scripture and understand that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. And so, therefore, anything that we discuss in the total categories of home, government, and the church are found in the Scripture. It's called a central biblicist worldview. And so, when we face the issues, we do so based on the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." The key to being free is knowing the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." Jesus is the centrality of truth. So when we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do not do that based on denominational dogma or some religious rites, rituals, rules, or regulations. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that as Christians, we're to be salt and light in the society in which we're living. We're aliens passing through this world. Jesus said, "Remember, if the world hates you, remember it hated Me first." Remember, the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy that if you are going to be faithful to the Scripture, I'm paraphrasing, faithful to the Scripture and loving the Lord, you'll be persecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing a society today where there is Christian persecution as never before. In fact, we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, the government getting involved in more and more on a local, state, and national level of trying to control what we do as Christians. And I don't think we need to be surprised by it. There are a lot of people that think that somehow, some way, that as time goes on, the world's going to get better and better. My Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. As the little boy says, it's going to get badder and badder and not better and better. It's not good grammar, but it makes a point, I believe. That's where we are in society. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion today, you can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 is your telephone number that gets straight through to the radio studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss these issues together. We're going to be talking about today government, prayer, and education. Government, prayer, and education. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, from as far back as he can be remembered by multitudes, back in the mid-70s, Joe Biden was even then opening his mouth only to exchange feet. Some call it the misstatements of Joe Biden. But ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, the focus on of today's socialist Democrats running as, by the way, there are about two dozen now of the socialist Democrats running for presidency. But in the 1970s, and again he restated in 2016, Joe Biden said, and may I quote to you, ladies and gentlemen, from Joe Biden, "I'm proud to be a politician. It influences everything that happens to the American people." He further said, "Elected officials like himself had the power to take away constitutional protected rights if they saw fit." And then Joe Biden said, "Whether you like it or not, us cruddy," he called himself, "us cruddy politicians can take away the First Amendment of yours if we want to, end quote. That gives you a little idea of Joe Biden's mindset. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not just Joe Biden. We have a whole host of those in the Socialist Democratic Party, starting with Nancy Pelosi and others, that want to take away the precious treasured First Amendment right that we have. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights that we have, although they were codified in the Constitution, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that in this Bill of Rights that we have, they initially came from the Word of God. They're initially handed down to us through our founding fathers that trusted in God, believed in Him, followed the Scripture. But in the First Amendment, it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. And it goes further. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make, we have today a governmental authority that's feeling somehow, some way that they can squelch, or somehow they can transgress, or just simply take away our constitutional rights. Ladies and gentlemen, you may think this is some political jargon, and the quote from Joe Biden. But across America, local, state, and national, our liberal politicians feel that they can, in fact, cancel, amend, abridge, or modify our Bill of Rights. We as Christians ought to be salt and light. We need to take notice, sit up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Perhaps you say, well, why should Christians be so interested in political affairs and political things? Ladies and gentlemen, if it were not for Christians, the salt and light in society today, we would have no religious liberties. There'd be no freedom of speech were it not for the work of God through Jesus Christ in the hearts and the lives of men and women, boys and girls in our nation and any place where there's any modicum of freedom around the world. The very foundation, ladies and gentlemen, of our Bill of Rights is found in our First Amendment. The first right is the religious freedom, the freedom of speech, especially the religious speech that we have today, is as a result of being codified in our Constitution, confirmed by the courts, and so often as an attempt to ward it down and tear it up, the First and Second Amendment in particular. I said the other day, someone was speaking, I said, do you realize why we have the Second Amendment is only second to the First Amendment? Because the First Amendment talks about our religious liberties and freedom of speech. Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers gave us that Second Amendment to protect us, to allow us to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government over us, that they could see the potential of that taking place and wanted there to be a mechanism by which Americans could remain free. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our city council members are scheduled to continue debate and deliberation on Bill 2019-329, which could ban prayer at our public city council meetings. Listen, our nation has already banned God in the public schoolrooms. Our nation has already banned through the governmentally controlled schools, banned prayer and Bible. God has been banned in the Socialist Democratic Congress today. Many cities and states have banned the public display of crosses. In fact, right now the movement across America is not just to ban the public display of crosses, but also to ban our historical statues, and many of them are being banned and removed today. America, our nation, and our cities have been so blessed of God, ladies and gentlemen, yet there is a move today to reject God, to ridicule God and the church and Christians, and yet embrace an LGBTQ transgender murder by way of abortion mindset. Hear what I'm saying? There is a mindset that through government, they can legalize and make right and force upon us as Christians and conservatives the LGBTQ agenda, the transgenderism philosophy, and murder by way of abortion. And I could go into great details of so many of those issues. There's a movement somehow that says that they can do that to we the people. Yet Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. That means to lift a nation up, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach that is a shame, a dishonor, an insult to any people. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place in our nation and trickle down. We need to recognize what's happening right here in Duval County. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, can you address the fact or fiction of separation of state, church and state? Is there such a thing?
No such thing in our Constitution. That was put there by the Danbury Baptist Fellowship. They had written a letter asking the question in relationship to that because there was a fear even then that just as in England that we had separated from, that there was a state church, that there was the only church that was recognized, and wanted to make certain that was not so. There's no such thing as a separation of church and state, a wall of separation of church and state, any place in our Constitution. However, listen very carefully. You go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and you find King Uzziah had decided he was going into the temple and offer sacrifice. 80 priests and the high priest, 81 priests total, begged him, pleaded with him not to do so. He did so, and as a political leader offered sacrifice, displaced the position of the priest, and tried to act as priest. As a result of that, God killed him. That's a good evidence. There is a separation of church and state, and that is the state is to remain out of the church's business. So it's not codified in the scripture where there's a separation of church and state, where Christians cannot say anything about God, cannot pray, and somehow, some way that the government cannot have prayer, and that somehow, some way God should be banned from the halls of Congress, as Jerry Nadler has done in the committee that he heads up now in Washington. There's a mindset in society today, and many Christians believe the demonic lie, that somehow, some way, Christians can't talk about politics. Christians can't get involved in politics. Christian pastors cannot say anything about political leaders and or those that are running for office. That simply is not so. And it goes back to a misunderstanding of the Lyndon Baines Johnson, aberrant legislative process, where during the course of some legislation where there was a transportation bill being passed and a rider was put on it by then Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson, that was the restriction on the 501c3, that is churches, that they were not to talk about politics from the pulpit. Well, that was for 60 some odd years, but President Donald J. Trump, May 17th of 2017, by executive order, canceled that. And yet there are still many pastors today that have not grown a spine that's willing to take a stand and speak publicly about issues that affect society. No, to answer your question succinctly, there's no such thing as a wall of separation of church and state in our Constitution. And I think it's time Christians recognize that, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, lest we be absolutely inundated by, and our religious liberties and freedom of speech and freedom of religious liberties that we have in our Constitution. If we remain silent, those will be foreclosed and or modified, modulated, and or taken away completely. But you're exactly right. That is not in our Constitution. But thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our city right now, the proposed bill 2019-329 that literally would would actually control prayer and the freedom of speech by religious liberties through prayer at a city council meeting. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear when you look at the scripture that prayer is to be made without ceasing in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, where it's very clear in Philippians 4:6 that in everything by prayer and supplication make our request known before God. But yet, in this particular bill, 2019-329, that the city council is wanting to pass, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, I understand the background of it. I understand what had taken place when they were confronted by a pastor that was praying, and in his prayer, he confronted them orally and publicly in relationship to their what they were doing that he felt he was displeased with, that should not have been done. Maybe in part, some of the things he said were correct, but they were upset and they felt it egregious that he shouldn't have been saying those things. I've used the term, ladies and gentlemen, we have religious liberties, we have religious free speech, we have free speech. There are a lot of things that people say that I disagreed with that I don't like, but I don't think it is incumbent upon me or any part of society to abridge your freedom of speech or my freedom of speech, much less the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have in our Bill of Rights. But ladies and gentlemen, the city ordinance 2019-329, if passed, would mean that the government would be able to dictate what you can say in a prayer. Literally, if you read that bill, it dictates what you can say in a prayer. The restrictions on our religious free speech could mean that the city politicians would decide if my prayer or your prayer is offensive to anyone or not. Thirdly, you will not be able to refer to any politician. You'd not be able to refer to any social or religious issue in the public prayers. It could be contended. It could be construed by the politician listening to be offensive to someone. The speaker, or the one praying, could be sanctioned based upon pure discretion. Ladies and gentlemen, the courts have already ruled, and may I quote, this is coming from a constitutional attorney's research on this proposed bill, and the courts have already ruled, and may I quote, any prior restriction or restraint on free exercise and free speech comes with a heavy presumption against its constitutional validity, end quote. Yet City Council Bill 329, that is 2019-329, fails the constitutional standard. The Supreme Court has consistently ruled, and I quote, any law is unconstitutional which allows discretion in its enforcement, end quote. And so I ask you to let your voice be heard, especially tonight at City Council meeting. Now, I do have, and I must tell you, I have before me an email that was sent. I sent the legal brief from our constitutional attorney where he'd researched the proposed bill. I sent that to every city council member and to the chief general counsel, asking them to please not force us to go down the dark path of a court process to get relief if this bill is passed. I sent that to all city council members and to the chief general counsel in the general counsel's office where they've got 41 attorneys working at the taxpayers' dollars. I did not hear back from anybody until yesterday. I received a response back from one of the city council members, and may I read you his brief response. Thank you for your follow-up email. Please be advised that the city council president, Bowman, has requested that Bill 219-329 be withdrawn from tomorrow night's city council meeting, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying that that is the case. I'm praying that that happens. I'm praying that it will be withdrawn completely and not something in a modified fashion or something in that is going to be shelved and then bring something back up. But that's the only thing that I can tell you is that I believe that you still need to be present. I believe that you still need to email, call, write, telephone the city council members and admonish them, please do not pass a bill that is unconstitutional that will force us to have to go to court in order to get relief in our city. But that's where it stands at the present time. Ladies and gentlemen, also at our city council meeting tonight, they'll be discussing the proposed 1/2 cents additional sales tax for the Jacksonville's failing public school system. The Jacksonville's failing public school system. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have a child or a grandchild in the public school system, but it's been my position for many, many years now that I'd rather see a parent that has very limited education. I'd rather see a parent that doesn't have any credentials in the realm of academics. I'd rather see a parent or a grandparent that would be rated by the elitist society as being an ignoramus. I'd rather see that parent or grandparent be responsible for teaching that child to love Jesus, to love God, to honor him, and to memorize the scripture, to know the scripture, and to honor God in their lives. And then with whatever modicum of educational process they could have to teach that son or daughter, as I call it, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, as historically the school system was designed to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not find any place in our Constitution where the public school system is ordained of our in our constitutional process or that it should be part of the constitutional process. Let me just, and I'll get back to the point, let me just cut through the chase so very briefly. I believe that God's ideal is homeschooling, Christian schooling, private school, and or the charter school systems today. I'm adamantly opposed to the governmentally controlled brainwashing system that's called public education. But ladies and gentlemen, they're going to discuss tonight potentiality of adding an additional sales tax. They're trying to raise several billion dollars. In fact, if I could find it real quick, the process is wanting to add, let's see where are the figures, $1.9 billion, I believe it is, $1.95 billion. Duval County voters could soon decide on a proposed half-cent sales tax that will be an estimated $1.95 billion to the district, according to the district leaders, and needing to replace, repair, or renovate some of the aging school facilities in Duval County. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the governmentally controlled schools today, they embrace, listen, this is what's happening, whether you know it or not, in the public school system in Duval County and across the nation. Whether your child comes home and tells you or not, they're being absolutely inundated under the guise of sex education, the transgender, the genderism, the gender identity, the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle is being portrayed and being presented and pushed today as never before in the history of America. We're finding it in just about every avenue, just about every venue, just about every area. You can turn on television, if they're advertising Omaha Steaks, for example, you see a sodomite couple sitting on the couch hugging and kissing as they're producing, promoting their steaks. And even now with Disney, there's a new cartoon that will embrace homosexual kissing for kids to view. They have Homosexual Day in Disneyland. They have in just about all the cities across America the Gay Pride Day, where the absolute deplorable, ungodly, unholy, despised, immoral sexual lifestyle is being portrayed as being all right and is being pushed. You think that's bad enough in the public eye, but ladies and gentlemen, that's being pushed in our classroom for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids to be faced with. They're being taught in the public school system today, and it includes Duval County public schools, whether you understand it or not. They're being taught that socialism is the ideal system. They're being the kids are being told, brainwashed, and being told that capitalism is an evil, bad, wicked system, where the big, bad person that makes a lot of money is the evil guy, where major corporate entity is the bad, evil, wicked witch of society. Our kids are being taught in the public school system that Allah is the true God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the public school system textbooks, when it talks about rural religions, when it talks about the governance system, they're portraying the Judeo-Christian mentality and the Judeo-Christian system as being unequal to and less than the Islamic system. In fact, you'll find in any of the history books where they cover anything about world religion, and I'm telling you, you can examine it. You can ask your sons or daughters or grandkids to let you look at their textbooks. If there's anything mentioned in there about religion, the Judeo-Christian system, the Judeo-Christian religious system is minusculized, and there's four or five times more in the paragraphs or the pages about Islam than it is about Christianity or Judaism. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a failed system across the nation, and right here in Duval County, where they're wanting you now, wanting you and me to chip in another half cent. Well, half cents is not much. It doesn't sound like much. Ladies and gentlemen, they're already saying now about $1.95 billion. And once the tax goes on, they said it'll be for about 20 years. Once the tax goes on, it never comes off. Once a tax is put in place by any city, any municipality, it's never taken out. There's always a place to say the money's got to go. And supposedly in this process, they're telling us now that if this passes, the one at the half-cent sales tax, that it'll be used only for the building of new buildings, the renovation of buildings, and the replacement of buildings for the schools in Duval County. But in our school system, they're embracing the LGBTQ lifestyle. They're pushing socialism rather than capitalism. They're teaching our kids that Allah is the true God. They're teaching what they're teaching is absolutely an abomination. They are teaching somehow, some way that which is done under the guise of abortion, they're teaching that that's okay. In fact, in most of our public schools, you can go to the health clinic there and a girl can get an abortion, a girl can get abortion medications or be sent to an abortion provider without parents' acknowledgement, without parents' parental consent or any knowledge about it whatsoever. They're teaching our kids that transgenderism is normal. Our public school system defy parental control of their child's life. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, if you need to send an aspirin to school for your child to take, it must go through the principal's office. The teacher must then have in her hand a written permission slip from you as the parent saying that child can take that aspirin, but they can teach them any wicked, ungodly, unholy, illicit lifestyle, and it's okay without parental knowledge or consent. Our schools have banned the prayer, banned the pledge to the flag, they banned the Bible, and somehow, some way, there's a feeling that we need to enhance that system, that we need to continue to pay for that failed system. Why should working citizens today, ladies and gentlemen, continue to be burdened with the extra taxes to support an ungodly, unholy, failed system that brainwashes our kids that's a gift from God? our scripture is very, very clear that a parent has the responsibility unto God to train that child, to teach them the scripture. When we get up of a morning, when we go during the day, when we go to bed at night, we're to teach the word of God to the sons and daughters. We're taught in the scripture that our sons and daughters are an heritage from the Lord. We're taught in the scripture that that parents were to train up our child, our children. We're taught to love them, admonish them. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not have departed from it. That's all a parental responsibility. A parent's responsibility to teach them, if you please, teach our sons and daughters anything about sexual education, not the lost, loosey-goosey mindset of the LGBTQ community that's producing the literature and in many cases teaching the literature and allowing public schools to have the drag queens to come in at storytelling hour. I say no, no, no to any new taxes through the for the governmentally controlled schools in Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, about our schools in Jacksonville, there's about 10 of our schools in Jacksonville already for the past 3, 4, 5 years got a D or an F grade in the ratings and are barely passing. Let's allow homeschooling, Christian schooling, private schools, charter schools to educate our sons and our daughters rather than continue the failed system that is called the public educational system. Here's an article that was sent by the Board of Education. I happen to be, for some reason, on their email list. It says, tomorrow the Jacksonville City Council will hear from the public on an important educational issue. Should Duval County voters get to decide a half-penny sales tax to improve our school buildings? And then it goes into great detail of how if we improve the school buildings, if we build new school buildings, if we throw more money at the system, that somehow, somewhere we'll bring the educational rating up. Ladies and gentlemen, go back to the Little Red Schoolhouse, as it was called back in yesteryear, with our founding fathers. They had all the grade levels in one room, one teacher that was teaching every grade level. We had some of our founding fathers that had graduated from high school and from college by the time they were 15, 16 years of age. It's not a matter of the type of building we meet in. It's a matter of the quality of the educational process and the educational instruction that our sons and daughters are given. Certainly, they cannot learn properly. Certainly, our sons and daughters cannot learn proper academics and education without a knowledge of God, without a knowledge and a relationship to Jesus Christ, and knowing the Word of God. A person might have a PhD, but it simply means nothing, zip, zero, zilch, nada, if there's not a relationship to Jesus Christ and a knowledge of God. It's an impossibility for us to continue to throw good money at bad. In fact, I'm very thankful that through President Trump, he has directed the Department of Education, the head of the Department of Education, which is a cabinet office, he's directed her to start the process of disengaging kindergarten through high school through the U.S. Department of Education. And remand education back to the states, and the states remand it back to the counties. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the only hope for the public educational system. I believe that we have an opportunity to train our sons and daughters at home in private education, in Christian education, where they can learn the Word of God. A person that's educated in all of the academics, all of the sciences, but are not educated in the Word of God, they're an absolute failed person. They're an absolute nobody when it comes to any knowledge. We are a learned person when we know the Word of God, when we apply the Word of God, and we allow God to direct our hearts and our lives. So two things as I close today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, call the city council members, your city council member. Say vote no on the educational bill that will allow, or the position that will allow, an increase of sales tax in Duval County for the failed system. Say no. I don't want any more of my money going to the failed educational system where they're brainwashing and destroying the morals, the ethics, and the values of our sons and our daughters. Tell them to say no on the Bill 2019-329, which would control prayer, would allow the governmental agencies and the bureaucrats behind closed doors to decide your prayer and my prayer, whether it meets their criteria or not. I say no on both those today. Call your city council members and let them know, as Christians, as conservatives, we do not want them to go any further with either of those issues. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.